I'd like to say a quick prayer before we start here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for having us all here tonight to hear your word and to try to share that word with those that are with us tonight. And we thank you for everyone that's here, and we ask you to bless those members that couldn't make it, those that are sick and otherwise. We ask you to continue to be with us and to help me to get this message out in a way that those that are here can understand what I'm preaching. And I thank you for giving me this word, Lord, and ask you to continue to watch over us and to bless us. In your son's name, Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen. All righty. First off, we're in the Beatitudes, so I'm going to go ahead and read my Beatitude, which is in Matthew 5. I'll get it out. And it is the sixth Beatitude. Thank you for standing. And here it says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Thank you. You may be seated. It was real interesting to me to look into this one because I'd never really thought about it, you know, more than what it says there. And let's see. It talks about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Seems like when you picture this, you know, you think of thirsting, hungering and thirsting. You think of possibly a wild animal who's been out running somewhere in the woods trying to get away from a wolf or something. And finally, they come upon some water. Their tongue's hanging out. They're tired. They're beat. And they're just happy to be where they are to see this water. It's like, you know, you never had a thirst like that before, you know, because your life just, it's like your life depends on it. And so you are thirsting for that water. And I would kind of liken it to when I was a boiler worker. I used to clean boilers and it'd be 120, 130 degrees in that boiler room. I'd have that door open, pulling out all this slag and everything, and it never gets below 400 degrees when you have that door open. And by the time you get done cleaning out one side of that boiler, you're ready to take a drink. You are dry and thirsty and just craving a drink. And let's see. And this is a physical hungering and thirsting. That's something that we all have at one time or another, you know, been hungry or thirsty to the point to where we are just really craving it. And I, let's see, and I think it is really brilliant how the Bible is written, you know, so that it can take these things and present it to us in a way that we can go ahead and look into it and find out the real meaning of it. To I look at it and it's an analogy. It teaches us how to seek righteousness. And we've all been through the times of thirst. And I remember in my younger days when I was fighting forest fire, you'd be out there for 18 hours straight, you know, and you hardly ever got a break, and you had sea rations for your lunch, you know, and you take it when you can. And when you get done at the end of the day, after 18 hours straight, you are beat. You come out of the woods. And they got a camp all set up, all kinds of steak and all this stuff, you know, and all kinds of food there. And by golly, you're hungry. You're ready to eat that steak. And you get that, and after you chow down and everything, a lot of guys don't even take their clothes off. They just crawl in their sleeping bag and go to sleep. You get up 3 hours later and go do it again. And let's see. We have, like I said, we had the, this is a physical part of our hungering and thirsting, but we also have an emotional part. And that is what this here analogy is. It's getting us into the emotional part so we can look beyond the outside physical being of this and get to the inner part of it to see what it really means to hunger and thirst. To better understand this, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 42, 1 and 2. It's a good thing I marked this. I put a marker in there. I don't know where it went. Okay. Here, this is David when he at this time was kind of out alone, away from, he'd been chased out of Jerusalem by his son Absalom. And he was, and this is what he was doing, yearning for God. And it says here in verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And this is the emotional side of it, that their inner being, that there's a real craving and wanting to be with God. And since he's definitely separated here, it even becomes more so because he's isolated alone and wondering what's ever going to happen. Well, let's see. You know what, we can look at things like when you're hungering. You have symptoms of hunger, you know, like you have an empty belly and your stomach is growling. You know, it lets you know, hey, I need some food, you know. Well, that's what it's like when you're away from God and you're not steady in his word. That's the way it should be. You should be, your stomach should be growling, but In a sense that I want to be with God. I want to know his word. I want to understand what he wants me to do and to get closer to God and to find love for God. You could experience all kinds of feelings too, like being grumpy and lightheaded and weak. That's also experienced when you're separated from God. You need to have that connectedness with God. When you have that connectedness with God, then you have a peace of mind. You have comfort that you're not going to find anywhere else. People search for all kinds of things in the world, but they never find it. They look for things in relationships. They look in alcohol, drugs, you name it, all kinds of things. People search for different ways of satisfying their need here, but they're never going to find it through all these worldly type of satisfaction. There's not going to happen. Right. You can't find satisfaction in this world. This world is not going to give you anything that's going to satisfy you. God's will for him was to have a a close relationship with Him. That and I think that's one of the things that we don't look at is that we need to have a relationship with God. We're not just going to read different verses in the Bible and not have any understanding in it. You have to read the Bible, and you got to read it over and over again because there's so much in there that you can't just read it once or twice and get what's in there. It's not like reading a novel that, you know what the last part of the novel is and it's all over, you know. It's there's so much information in there, and it's held within all these different verses throughout the Bible. You know, and I could read it for the rest of my life and I'll never know it all. But, you know, he has, let's see, I can't read my own writing. And what I was getting at there, I believe, is how do we evaluate ourselves on this? You know, do we take a daily evaluation ourselves to see how we are fitting in this? What is our relationship with God? You know, how do we come to Him each day? Do we talk to Him? You know, for me, what I've said, I say is, Lord, it's me again. You know, and I do that because I want it to be a personal thing. I want it to be not just like I'm praying to a cup or, you know, some fake God on the wall or something. I want it to be to God Himself so that He knows that I want to know You, to understand You, and to try to do what You want me to do in this life. And so do you have a deep burning desire to know God? Are you lukewarm, focusing on how much He can do to feel good about yourself? How much do you give to the church? What do? Is it, do you come here and warm the seats and then leave? Do you get involved in the things that are going on in the church? Do you join a choir? Do you empty the garbage? You know, there are all kinds of ways to have provide service here at the church. And all of it is honoring God. Amen. We're here to honor God. And it's like they say, many hands make light work. And that's the way it is in the church, too. If everybody sticks together and works together, then things are going to work better for the church. We're going to be able to do more things for more people. We're going to be able to reach out to more places to support more churches. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to, you know, like, I don't even know the number, but I think we have something like 19 churches that were planted by this church. And, you know, to me, that's really amazing to me. I don't know what other people think about it, but I find it really amazing. And to support them, you know, and we're here, but they're there. They're carrying God's message to people in places where, you know, we probably wouldn't want to go. You know, putting their lives in danger and, you know, going to jail and stuff just so they can get the message out to other people around the world. God created all of us, and He wanted us to love and honor and obey Him. And that's what we're going to learn when we follow His Word, you know, when we read the Bible and understand the meaning of it, and continue to come to church. One thing that I was thinking about as I was reading here is, you know, what if we're sitting around a campfire, hypothetically, which I'm sure has happened, and you say, what is the most important thing to you in life? You know that most people say, my children. That's their number one answer. And besides that, it's my husband or my wife. That's something to think about. Where does God set? Where does He rank in this? He should be number one. God always has to be number one. Because without God, you know, I mean, we don't have anything. There is no salvation, you know, without God. And He deserves to have our honor and our faith in Him. Okay, let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 63, and we'll read verses 1 through 8. Okay, I don't hear any more pages flipping, so I guess we're there. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see the power of the glory of so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of the wings will I of Thy wings will I rejoice. Isn't that a lovely way of looking at it, you know, at the end there? How would that be to be? Because Thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. Amen. What a blessing. If you want this kind of relationship with God, being satisfied every day, these are some of the things that you'd want to do. One, you want to have a loving interest and a desire for the Word of God. I want to know I want to know how He thinks. The Word wants to build your He wants to build your faith in the person of God, seeking nuggets out in the Bible.
Amen.
This means spending time with Him. Amen. Talk to the Father, not yourself and your needs. Talk to Him about what you have to express your love for Him. Do you thank Him for for this message tonight? Yeah. It may be clumsily given, but it's a good message. You get freed from the world. Your thirst is being quenched. Your desire to fellowship with the other believers, I don't need to go to church. I can go to heaven without it. There are many people that have this thought, but what do you have if you do that? You go to heaven, but you don't have anything when you reach heaven. You know, you have no crowns to place before Jesus. What would that be like? You know, you'll be like the custodian in heaven. You have nothing to aspire to there. How can you say, I love God, but I don't want to share His word? He came into your heart to be given away. That's, you accept Him as your Savior. I want that kind of relationship with God. Ask God to teach me how to have this and the relationship with you. Lord, speak into my heart through confession and repentance. And move on. If only confess, but you don't repent, then you're not going anywhere. You know, if you have confession without repentance, you're not going anywhere. You're not getting closer to God. So ask yourself this question: Do I truly want to be close in a close, loving relationship with your Father above everything else? He will be there. That's it.